Tim. Well, as we were listening to that song, I read the bio for the Alexander Ravenel, who was to be our speaker today. And he ends by saying, "I am here as the presence of God to serve the presence of God in you." I think that's a perfect reflection of what I just read from Mayor Baba. I'm looking forward already to Alexander's talk in April. Alexander chose as his title, "Let Us." And there's not much explanation about what that was to be about. But when I heard that, what came to my mind is the passage in the Bible where God says, "Let us make man in our image." And that reminds me that we are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are reflections of that God being. And that's what I want to talk about today, and I want for us to talk about and share. For myself, when I feel most closely aligned with that godness in me is when I put my ego aside and I allow God to work through me, and especially through my hands, when I lay hands on someone. And I will literally watch my hands move on a person's body to places that my ego says, "Huh? Why would you do that?" But I trust that whatever is working through me knows way more than I do. And one of my favorite mantras is, "I let go and I let God," or "Let me do thy will." And I will often just say that over and over again as I let God work through me. And I've seen miracles happen under my hands that I don't take credit for. And I've literally seen tumors disappear that were later confirmed by MRI that the tumor was gone. And I know that I can't duplicate that just by willing it, because it wasn't my will that did it. It was thy will. It was that part of me that is greater than the physical being. And I think we have the power to access that, especially when the need is great. I once recharged the batteries in a flashlight because there was need to do that. I was out in the woods with a bunch of kids that I was responsible for, and the flashlight went dead, and the sun was going down, and we were not going to be able to find our way back without a flashlight. And the kids will tell the story that they saw lightning coming out of my hands to recharge those batteries. And they were charged enough, at least enough to get us back home and get the girl who was injured to an ambulance. So those are my stories about when I felt, you know, most closely aligned with that perfection. And I'd like to hear yours. Barbara.
I had a friend many, many years ago who, you may have seen him on television. He's an expert with the spontaneous combustion. His name is Dr. Larry Arnold. And his whole life, from the time he jumped out of a three-story building.
Could I make a suggestion? If you're going to speak, would you come up and stand near me so that we can record you?
Oh,
yeah.
You want to pass the mic around?
Let's pass the mic around.
We can pass the mic around.
I don't know. I'm pretty shy standing in front of you.
Those of you who don't know me, I spent 20 years on the road speaking to groups of people. So, anyway, this friend's name is Dr. Larry Arnold, and he's the expert worldwide on spontaneous combustion. But that's not why I'm mentioning him. I'm mentioning him because after he tried jumping out of a third-story building and landed on his feet and didn't break anything, he had a vision on his way down. And after that, he never spoke or never used the word I. He always used the word we, because his vision was that we are all one. And so I was with him when he was trying to book a plane ticket. And it was really funny because he would say to Delta, I'd like a ticket from yada yada to here. And they'd say, how many are going? And he says, there's just we. And they said, well, how many is we? He says, one. And so he would get in these predicaments, but no matter what, it was always we. And he really brought that home to me, that the more you use the word we, the more you use that energy that connects us, you know, the more active it becomes in with you. I think that's the word I want. So that's what I'd relay to you. But he is funny to talk to. He really is. So some of you know I'm just starting a new book, which is a real challenge, because Spirit has told me I cannot use the word I in the book at all, not even once. And if you try to say something without using the word I, it becomes a real challenge. But it's teaching me a lot about what I thought I was and what I really am. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Barbara. And if you're too shy about coming and standing up in front of the room, I'll bring the mic to you. So who would like to share? Will you come up? This is Jean.
Talked about the subject, let us, and I want to tell you what my thoughts were. Let us have fun. Let us be joyful. Let's have a good time. That was my thoughts. I guess I just like to have fun.
Well, that reminds me of another biblical passage. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord, from Psalms. Okay, and this is Doug.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Several years ago, I went through a challenge that I really did not see how I was going to get through it. And I had to turn it over to God and let God figure it out so that I could make this experience be something that was as good as it could be. But my very best friend of 25 years got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And as we all know, pancreatic cancer is a cancer that moves throughout the body, and it will attack many other areas other than the pancreas. And it, at different times, was not a good experience for him. And the part that was so important for me is that I was with him the day he got diagnosed. And I was with him the moment that he left Earth. And I was able to take off from work and be with him, and we traveled back and forth to MD Anderson out in Houston, Texas, trying to get some different things done. But there were two particular experiences during this whole thing that really stood out to me, is that his body had deteriorated from approximately 185 pounds down to about 75 pounds. And at that time, we realized that we had to get things in order. He didn't have a will. He had a home. He had a car. He had many different things that he had never thought about. What do I need to do with this? One of the other things that we had not approached was, where were we going to lay his body to rest? He chose a place that was truly magical. It's a place out in Conyers, Georgia. And I don't know if any of you know about this place, but it's run by a group of monks. And you are not allowed to have any headstones of any type. You cannot have metal. You cannot have anything that's not going to disappear back into the earth and go back into the ground naturally. Many nights I prayed and asked for God to lead us and to give him strength so that we could get through that experience. And to go through a time when you're with someone who's so close that you've got to choose a place where they're going to be laid to rest is very difficult. It's not an easy thing to do. As you see, I'm still, my voice is stumbling over the experience. But long and short, God brought Andy strength to get through it. His body, he woke up one day, he said, "Doug, you know what? I've found this place. I want to go check it out. And let's do." And he had been a mechanic for Delta Airlines for probably 30 years. So we could drive out to Conyers. We're looking around. It's this large wooded forest area. And there's nothing other than a metal stake in the ground with a number. And wherever you choose your spot, they align that spot with a satellite up in space so that you know your exact dimensions of where you always are going to be. And we're looking around, and couldn't figure out. And he was strong that day. And we came across a pine tree. And this pine tree looked exactly like a left hand pointing up like this. Andy was left-handed. And he was always pointing up like this to say things. And at the very moment he looked up, he said, "Doug, look at the pine tree." He said, "Wouldn't that be something if I could be close to this?" And I said, "Yes." And at that very moment, a Delta jet went flying over. So we both knew that was the spot for him to be in. And God allowed him to be with us for approximately 5 more days after that. But I thank God every day for the strength that he gave him to be able to get up and go and do the things necessary to see an attorney, to write a will, to make very difficult decisions, and to go pick out his own burial spot. But God gave him and me both the strength to get through that experience together. And I am eternally and always grateful for that experience. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Max.
Barbara?
You want to come with me and hold me up?
Somebody else who's shy in front of a room, yes.
Howdy, howdy. I'm not a doctor other than an MD, which means mountain doctor. I can herb you up in the woods, but beyond that, you said, you know, well, the scripture says we were created in God's image. And for many, many, many years, I thought that meant in the physical aspect, maybe hands, feet, toes. No, not for me. I think that means we're created in his light, which is his image. Because God is light, and you are light because of his image. Light bearers, I like that. Anyway, years ago, before I came into the enlightenment stage, the doctor did some tests. Something was wrong with the calcium, I'm not sure, but anyway, it pointed to bone cancer. It wasn't good. And he called me up late one night, and he said, I want you to go to the hospital. And I said, well, thank you, but I'm not going. And I did go back in for another test for the calcium levels. I don't remember exactly, But anyway, he gave me the test results, and I was exiting his office in Clayton, and I'll never forget, this was very profound for me. And again, I can't give you that experience no more than you can give me your experience, and words utterly fail when you try to... I learned that when I wrote that, the second book, A Time for Every Season. You just can't. It's like telling somebody how to ride a horse, but they will never, ever know till they get in a saddle. So, anyway, I was leaving the doctor's office. I'll never forget this. I just had opened the door and stepped over the door threshold like that and heard this inner voice like a trumpet, and it said, he said, he, she, or it, whatever, said, who told you you were sick, Adam? And see, that rung a million bells in my head because I was such a Bible thumper back then in the most literal sense, and I could identify with that. Because that's exactly what he is recorded in Genesis. And then the voice came again and said, whatever you call it, Adam, that shall it be. And that parallels with another scripture that says, in our tongue lies the power of life and death. You create it by your emotions and your words. So I try to be positive every day, and on any kind of bad days, I'll tie rubber bands around the back of my teeth like Liberace. Go into the Piggly Wiggly. What do you want? But that was just one of my many experiences. But another experience was after I did step into the light, I got to tell you about my friend Vicky. Vicky, do you mind? It's gonna come in here. Vicky and I studied very traditional Bible teachings for many, many years with Pastor Arnold Murray, who taught the Bible in a very literal sense. Now, if you want to know the history part of it and the literal, there's no better teacher than Arnold Murray, and was a satellite ministry. And I mean, we were Murrayites. If he said it, that sealed it, you know. And then I was preparing to share the Passover message in 2010. And I would study. And that's when I heard the call to come up, Heather. And everything that I had possibly built my faith on come crashing down. It like to have killed me. And it felt like, Arthur, that an egg beater was turned loose in my head. I thought I was losing my mind. And if you don't think... See, that's what the true... You want me to shut up? That's what the true meaning of repentance is to change the way you think. It ain't got nothing to do with your proclivity or smoking or watching a nasty movie or whatever. It's change. That's hard, Meta. Bless your heart, it is. But anyway, I was working on this second book, and I was trying to convey that experience, and every time the words would fail. Anyway, I finally muddled it out as best I could. For some reason, in the back, and I had quit teaching traditional at this time because I couldn't. I didn't believe it no more. And for some reason, I had this fear because I respected and loved Vicky so much in her friendship, you know, because she's an old mountain gal, lives above me, throws snow down on me in a dishpan. And I just didn't want Vicky to get a hold of this book because I thought she was still Arnold Murray, Shepherd's Chapel. Don't get Vicky. I don't, because I feared losing her friendship. I'd already lost one good friend over disagreements. And that friend, beloved, had told me, if friendship is based on doctrine and doctrine fails, so will the friendship. Amen. And it did. Anyway, I was down at Wayfarers at the time. Had not a clue that Vicky had heard the call to. No, we didn't talk. Meet in Ingalls. Not a word about the study on the TV or nothing. Mimi Nash said I guess it was on Wednesday or something, said, we're going to have a special guest next Sunday. Her name is Vicky. Never occurred to me in a million years, Meta. Vicky, somebody from Florida, or I didn't know. And I was sitting there, Wayfarers. The door come open, and there stood Vicky. Lord, they like to had to get the camphor to bring me to. Can you imagine? And after I turned loose of an emotional jackhammer, Vicky came over and sat down and said, "Hey, you." Well, I don't know. I'm shaking like a dog peeing peach seeds. But that was beautiful. You see, she didn't know that I had heard the call, and I didn't know that she did. And what a supreme work of love! And I just think I'm very grateful to the Creator for that, because as you know, there ain't a whole lot of people out there you can bounce stuff off of and get an honest reaction. But that's kind of my tale a little bit.
Sounds like Creator has a good sense of humor too. I'll tell you that way.
Yeah, it is. It is. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Vicki, would you like to follow up?
No.
Who else would like to share? Well, while you're thinking about it, I'll tell you about another one of my mantras that I work with all the time. This one came from my Sufi teacher. And the Sufis have 101 names for God, which are attributes of God. And one of them is Wahabo. And Wahabo means to be in the flow of creation, to be in the flow of energy, of the universe. And it's actually said in a very flowing way. Yuwabo, 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 yuwabo. It's almost like one word. So I'd like for us to say that together. The first syllable is ya, like yes in Scandinavian. Wa, like a baby crying. Ha, like laughter. And bo, like a bow tie. Ya, wa, ha, bo. Ya, wa, ha, bo. Ya, wa, ha, bo. And just keep speeding it up. Ya, wa, ha, bo. Ya, wa, ha, bo. Ya, wa, 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 bo. Yahuwabo, 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 Yahuwabo. Keep going, Yahuwabo, 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 Yahweh Bo, 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 Yahweh Bo. Keep going, Yahweh Bo, Yahweh Bo, Yahweh Bo, Yahweh Bo, Yahweh Bo, Yahweh Bo. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Sufis say their mantras are, what, as they refer to them, as wazifas, 33 times. So we did that 33 times. And that's a beautiful practice, to remind yourself that you are that aspect of God. Another wazifa that I work with is Yabasir, which is the all-hearing, and Yasami, the all-seeing, that I have that ability as my God self to see everything, to hear everything, to know everything. Now that doesn't mean that I see everything all the time. I miss a lot. But I know that when I'm in that right space, I will hear exactly what I need to hear, or I will know exactly what I need to know. And I trust that. My job is to make the space for that to happen, to set my ego aside and to align myself with the highest part of me and the highest part of you, because we are all one at that place. Another experience I'll share with you, unless somebody else wants to speak. Barbara? Okay. I read a book one time that talked about the chakras, and it said, unlike the human body, which has 7 chakras, the earth has 12. And as I'm reading this, my little voice says to me, the human body has 12 too. And it showed me an image of 5 chakras above the physical body. Well, I was in, God, I don't remember what a city, I was in Kansas City at the time. And I was there to teach and do private sessions with people. And my first client who came walked in the door and said, you're going to do something different for me today. I said, oh? And she said, yes, my guides told me that you're going to balance all 12 of my chakras. Well, I nearly fell to the floor, because I just read that the night before. Uh-huh. And here's somebody to confirm not only that information is valid, but that I'm going to do something with it. And I said, oh, let me think about that a moment. And again, the voice said, yes, you're going to do the other 5 with sound. So as I'm balancing her chakras, I, of course, start with the root chakra and move up to the crown one by one, and usually giving a description of what I feel in that chakra, because I feel what's going on in the physical body and on the emotional level in those places, because each chakra relates to an endocrine gland as well. When I started working with the transpersonal chakras, the ones above her head, and I started intoning, what I realized was the first chakra connects us with the entire field, energy field of the earth. No, I'm sorry, that's wrong. The first connects us with the soul body. And I believe now, I didn't at that time, but I think the soul body is also a collective. It's not just your soul body. I think at that level, we're also all one. And then it moves up to connecting us with the field of the earth. and then the field of the solar system, and then the field of the galaxy, and finally the field of the universe. And when I got to that point and balanced that chakra for her, I literally felt in that oneness with her that we are all one. And that is how we are all one, because at that highest level of our energy fields, we are one. We are everything. That energy field is the entire universe. Now, I know it's told that there are millions of universes. So I imagine there are probably transuniversal chakras that connect us to those other universes, but I haven't experienced those yet, and I don't know if anybody else has, but Mir Baba's teaching was that there are millions of universes. One of the masters was asked one time, exactly how many universes are there? And he said, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you. So the disciples came back the next day and he told them there are 8,905,000,000, I'm making this up, the number, but he actually gave them a number. And it was several billion, million galaxies. And his disciples said, why didn't you know yesterday and you know today? He said, because I had to stop time to count them. I had to stop time to count them. Rhonda, and then we'll go to you, Bob.
Actually, she was only going to do it if I didn't. last week or the week before, I woke up hearing I come with a new commandment. Think about it. Okay, I come with a new commandment. Think about it. So I went online and I started looking. Barbara Woodall's going to have to help me out because there's the first part of the Great Commandment. I can't remember. The second part is love your neighbor as yourself. What's the first part? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. So this is what I've come to, and it actually follows very well what you've just spoken about. A commandment it's not really, I come with a new law is what he's saying, or a new interpretation of the law. A commandment is not a rule like we have laws, legal system. It's not like you have to do this. You can break a law, you can break a rule. You can't break this sort of rule. A commandment, you can't break it. It is a description of how the universe was created. So love thy Lord, the Lord thy God. Love creation, that's all you can do. It's talking about, really, and love thy neighbor as thyself. You can only love your neighbor the way you love yourself. You can't love anything more than you love yourself. It goes with the law of karma, the law of karma, which is everything you do has an effect, you know, it comes back to you. There's a scientific principle of the conservation of energy and matter. Things can only be energy or matter. And going through this little rabbit hole got me to what the law is, which is the law of oneness. Everything is one. And so you're saying everything is one, so if everything is one, anything I do to myself, I'm doing to the one. So if I want to heal creation, I heal myself. Am I making any, it's like, I don't have my notes, you know, but it was this little rabbit hole I went down. So when he's saying, love thy neighbor as thyself, he's really saying, how you love yourself is how you love your neighbor. And we've been taught, indoctrinated into feeling that that's selfish, that's ego, that's being self-centered, and that's wrong. That what you should do is love your neighbor first. And but I'm working with in myself, realizing that if I love myself, if I heal myself, I naturally am loving everybody else the way I love myself. So that's where I'm at. Diving down, and you can all be a lovely mirror and point out all those places I haven't healed yet so that I can love myself better, and then I can love you better and love all creation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Okay.
Oops.
So the we, Barbara is talking, we, the Barbara is talking about myself, which I don't like, myself, which I am ashamed of, myself, which I am jealous or whatever. Those are all we of me. I love the part of me, I, who loves, needs to love the one who resents, the one who criticizes, the one who judges, making the peace within myself, and at every moment choosing, I am love. And from this place, there is a oneness. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Our speaker last week, Michael, reminded us of the Aramaic teaching of the I within the I, which is called Inanna. Barbara?
It was very interesting because they're talking about I am love. I am. Some of you know and some of you don't know that in my younger years that I tried suicide 3 times. Obviously did not love myself. Obviously wanted out of here. And obviously spirit wasn't going to have any of that. So each time there was a crazy circumstances that happened that prevented it from happening. So I decided after this that I would learn to love myself. And I found I couldn't. So I started out and I said, I see love. I see love walking towards me. I see love coming closer. I see love standing in front of me. I see love holding my hand and walking beside me. I see love and I merging. So I couldn't, for some reason, I couldn't just make that jump into I love myself. I had to gradually work. It was almost like making a recipe for me. And then I found a wonderful book, and if you have not read it, I highly recommend it. It's called, it's old book. You can still get it on Amazon. It's called 3 Magic Words. How many of you have read it? I read it every day. Yeah. And in that book, it says, if God is, and God is, if God is love, and God is love, if God made you, and God made you, then you are love. So it's not a process of, it's an unlearning. We can't be anything but love. That's who we are. There's no separation. It's just remembering that there's no separation. And I have found that through some of my crazy experiences with medicine people, they've put me in situations where I had to remember that. And in Lakota, there is a term called Wankatanka. And Wankatanka simply means something holy moving. And as one medicine man told me, it is the dark matter in the universe, and it is in everything, and it cannot not be separate from anything. And that's a scientific fact, that dark matter is a part of everything. So I honor each of you for being love. Period. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara. And thank you all for sharing today. And we will be having a potluck after this service today, so we can continue our sharing at the potluck. And now it is time for the sharing of prayers.
Together.